Good morning. This is Deborah Penta, live from Penta Communications. And today we are celebrating International Women's Day with an all-star lineup of interviews for a three-part podcast series to mark Press for Progress 2018. In this segment of Top Growth, we will discuss women in the military and the female veteran community in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Joining me for this important conversation is a very good friend of ours and a tireless champion of Massachusetts veterans, Secretary Francisco Urena. Francisco Urena was sworn in as Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs by Governor Charlie Baker on February 6, 2015. His commitment to government service began the day after graduating high school when he enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. And in the span of 8 years of honorable service, his duties included diplomatic security with the Department of State at two American embassies, including the American Embassy in Damascus, Syria, and the American Embassy in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. He is a Purple Heart recipient from injuries sustained during Operational Iraqi Freedom Campaign. And following his enlisted service with a degree in history and legal studies from the University of Massachusetts, Lowell, and while pursuing his education, he involved himself in a series of volunteer work, which ultimately led to his role as Veteran Services Officer in the City of Lawrence, and then later as Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for the City of Boston. And in 2008, he was honored as the Veteran Services Officer of the Year. He is deeply committed to helping veterans live with dignity, honor, and independence, and ensures that the department and its initiatives focus on those goals. Francisco, it is such a pleasure to welcome you here today to Top Growth.
Well, thank you so very much, and what an honor it is to join you today.
Well, we're so excited. You know, today we're saluting women from all over the world in honor of International Women's Day, and we really appreciate your taking the time today, especially with the severity of the aftermath of the winter storm, to join us for this really important conversation. You know, we're really hoping that you can give us an overview of what the status of women is in the military in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and also our female veteran community.
Well, absolutely. You know, female veterans are an important aspect of our fabric of America, since their impact into the combat and theaters and just making contributions in the military and out of the military since World War II, when most of the females were actually involved in being part of in numbers. But today we have more females serving in the military than we've ever had. And as the demographics of veterans, not only here in Massachusetts, but across the country, is in a downturn as forth as numbers, just because the military is a smaller and more aspect of operating with smaller numbers, the number of female veterans are actually on the rise.
It's really interesting. I mean, you know, years ago, many, many, many years ago, women who even were involved in the military served different roles than they do today. And back when World War I, World War II, and then progressing into the future and where we are now, it seems like there's been a major shift in how women participate in military service. And so today, what do you think, you know, what are the primary ways in which women are engaging in military service here in America and most particularly in the Commonwealth?
You know, so putting the question into what the role of females are in America, they are in every combat and non-combat job, specifically on the aspects, especially on support. They provide a tremendous role when it comes to technical support and in a lot of the different types of jobs that have not been open in the past. And over the last 5 years, there has been a major shift in giving opportunities to females who want to be in those types of combat and combat armed jobs. For the most part, mostly all are open to them. But it gives them an opportunity to serve in ways that they have not had the chance. And it's not forcing them to do so. It is just acknowledging them that they want to serve in more active ways in the military. And to that, to today, there's about 15% of females in active duty service, larger than it has ever been. And just looking at the data, as I was reviewing, just 3 years ago, that number was about 12%. So that's a significant growth. And it goes to show you just the willingness of our females to come to active duty service, join the military, raise their right hands, and swear the aspect of allegiance and service to our country.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I think, you know, if today in particular with International Women's Day and with a Press for Progress movement, it's really all about more opportunities and growth for women in numerous industries and just all across the board. And so it's really wonderful to see that more and more women are getting engaged in the United States Armed Forces and really have opportunities that they never had years ago. And so we're starting to see progress here in the military, just like we are in other areas, in other industries, and just in other realms. You know, we talked in some of our other conversations that we're having today about the global perspective on women across all over the world, and also regionally in general, you know, some of the issues that women are having. And you are a steadfast and tireless advocate for our veteran community. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what that veteran community is here in the Commonwealth for women? And, you know, what does that look like? How many, round numbers, how many women do we have that are currently in the Commonwealth that are veterans? And what's the landscape with regards to that?
So here in Massachusetts, we have about 365,000 veterans and their families who reside in our Commonwealth. About 28,000 of them are female veterans. That number fluctuates between the data that the VA tells us, but we know that a lot more females are taking advantage of the GI Bill and taking advantage of education. So they may find themselves here in our state, in our top-notch universities across this great Commonwealth. And it is that same aspect of, and as you understand, the biggest impact that both male and females have in the military is once they leave the military, their leadership that they bring into our communities and into society, and the set of skills that they've learned in leadership is that sense of impact that they are able to contribute once they're out of uniform. We have a very unique system in Massachusetts where we have a veteran service officer in every city and town. Just last year, we've really made a lot of landmarks in having the most number of female veteran service officers who are putting a focus into outreach of the female veteran population, but also the sense of attention to detail that they bring and compassion as helping and serving fellow veterans, both male and females, and their families.
That's really wonderful. I think that it's just really wonderful that you have that in place. And I remember reading an article recently about the six challenges that are facing women veterans. And as you know, I have a very heartfelt, you know, for me, it's looking at when people come back from service, it's making sure that their psychological, you know, everything is okay for them from a psychological standpoint, and just working on a wellness, overall wellness. And in reading this article, when they called attention to the six different issues, the primary issues that women were having, they said that healthcare was number one, and it was, you know, the three concepts: the physical, the mental, and the awareness. The second one was military sexual trauma. The third one was mental health, and so they isolated that one by itself. And then the fourth one was disabled vets, and the fifth one was unemployment, and then the sixth one was homelessness. And do you find in your work with veterans, in particular the female veterans here in the Commonwealth, that you see that though that is correct, that those are the six primary issues that you think that they're facing, or are there other areas where you feel you know, women really need help with, female veterans in Massachusetts?
You know, that data really resembles just the aspect of both male and females. All those aspects, including military sexual trauma, is something that affects both male and females in the military. And so it is ensuring that they have the support that they need upon return to the military, but also as we put a focus in our congressional leaders and our leaders in Congress to ensure that the safety is there so that we understand that we've now been in combat for 17 years and some of the aspect of traumas and experiences that some of these young men and women are facing perhaps are out of our control to place an impact, but placing the safety so that military sexual trauma and the aspect that they have the right set of gear and that the safety gear that they take in and out of combat is formed to them. And not, it's not just as a decade ago where females were wearing the gears of their male counterparts. But the aspect of reintegration is something that here we have a major role and something that our administration has put a focus on, ensuring that we have networks in place, such as the Women Veterans Network, which is a group that is there for the sense of camaraderie, the sense of reintegration, and how we welcome our females of all generations into our communities with events and activities throughout the year scheduled so that they could share their experiences and in that aspect empower one another.
Right, that's really wonderful. I also remember reading that there's a huge success attribute for female veterans that enter business, and there's so many skills that women obtain through their military service where they can take it and apply it to their civilian lives when they complete their service. And there's been some studies that show that this can be very successful in this particular case in the business world because they're bringing these significant leadership skills to the workplace. Do you have any thoughts on that? And after service and women applying their leadership skills, or even what particular leadership skills that women might derive from military service that they can apply to the business world or any career that they may choose outside of the military?
Well, there is a system in place and that assists females and both male and females in their aspect of transition, and the mechanism of the GI Bill putting a focus on education so that they could take and attend any school, if you will, because there's the sense of whether it's public or private education that fills some of those gaps. It places a focus on that education post-military, but also gives an opportunity to take that a step further. There are small business loans from the Business Administration that place a focus, and females bring so much to our society, but it's primarily their willingness to succeed, their willingness to become leaders, their willingness to become entrepreneurs. If that is what they want to do, we have both we here in the state and also some federal tools to help them succeed. And so we are seeing more and more veterans become entrepreneurs. When Governor Baker came on board, one of the focuses that we did was place an aspect of assisting veterans who are entrepreneurs to be part of the supply diversity to the state, where there has been some set-asides placed not only for veterans, minorities, and business women, business-owning companies, to be able to be part of the supply diversity of the state, willing to sell goods and services to the Commonwealth. So those are some of the aspects of the supports that are in place to ensure that once a person takes a risk to become a business owner, that they too could be part of what in the past has been a big secret of how to do business with the Commonwealth.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. I think that it's just across the board for all people, all veterans that have served. And we're really fortunate that the state, under the leadership of the current administration, has really put forward these wonderful programs and then endorsed so many great opportunities for entrepreneurs to get involved. And I think, you know, some of these great strengths that female veterans bring back with them from their time in service, even if they're not entrepreneurs, but they just go into the corporate world after their education is complete, really they can emerge perhaps to higher leadership positions within the organizations because of those discipline skills that they've learned in the military. And I'm wondering, you know, there's so many people that that are listening that would most likely love to get involved in some way from a give back standpoint. You know, there's so many wonderful and worthwhile organizations that we have here in the Commonwealth and all over the country that you can get involved in, whether it's volunteering your time or providing charitable contributions or finding other ways of contributing. Are there any organizations or ways that you could suggest that women can get involved in helping other women in the military, in our veteran community, just so that there's a means for them to give back to our female veterans?
Yeah, absolutely. One of them is in Massachusetts, our Women Veterans Network. It is that network that I spoke a couple minutes ago about, the sense of support, yeah, and peer-to-peer, but also the opportunity of those who haven't served to make an impact. On May 19th of this year, we're going to be hosting, as the Department of Veterans Services, the 10th Annual Women Veterans Conference. It's an empowerment conference where speakers and successful both female veterans have come to make an impact and, in a sense, make that connection. I know that it has been an event that over the last decade has grown exponentially from the attendance, and we strategically try to place it in different parts of the state just to give access. This year is going to be held at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, and it's going to be a setting of empowerment. And I welcome any of both male and female veterans specifically to be part of that event. And these events are there for the communities free of charge. And it is going to be a very successful event because the type of programming that the network of female veterans has been placing to empower their fellow female vets.
It sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And to be the 10th annual shows the success of the participants and also the success of the folks that are putting it on. I'm assuming that's under your office in the direction of your the leadership, which is really fantastic because we all know that the more you can participate in things like this, the more that you become empowered and learn so much, not only from the speakers, but from one another. So how would our veteran female community find out about that? Is there a website they can go to? Is it through mass.gov? Is there a section on that particular website that they can go to? If they Google it, would they be able to find it?
Yeah, so absolutely. What I recommend is taking a look at mass.gov/veterans. Okay. And under that, there's the link for the Women Veterans Conference that's coming up there, as well as mass.gov/womenveterans. Both links will take you to the same aspect of learning about the Women Veterans Conference, signing up for the Women Veterans Network, learning about the Deborah Sampson Award that happens each year, where we recognize the contribution of a female veteran in our communities and their roles of leadership and the roles of their successful reintegration into our communities and the leadership that they have provided vastly in the type of work that they do. And it is an award selected by their peers. We kind of placed the program in the emphasis, but it is contributions and suggestions of the members of the communities who, how we identify these role models in our communities to be able to recognize them.
That's wonderful. Very, very nice. Now, let me ask you, if there are young women out there that are listening today and they are interested in, say they're in college or high school and they're interested in the potential of enlisting in the military, what would you recommend their first steps be so that they can follow a journey with, a smooth journey? What would you recommend that they do if they have an interest in potentially serving in our armed forces?
Yeah, the aspect of learning as much as you can. Whether you're serving in our military for 4, 6, 20, or 30 years, it is the aspect of what skills, what set of best practices, what set of lifestyle you want to have once you return back to your communities, whether it's back to Massachusetts or you find some other place across our country that you want to relocate to, is what sets of skills, whether, and the possibilities are really endless, what folks nowadays could do in the military. And so is that aspect of finding the opportunities, what interest skills you have right now, and how can that translate into a military career and post-military career as well.
Excellent, excellent. And I know we're running out of time, but we would be remiss if we did not mention our upcoming flag raising. So I just want to talk about that for a couple minutes. This is going to be our fifth annual this year, Penta Communications having our beautiful flag raising ceremony in honor of Military Appreciation Month, which is all military veterans, male, female, and it's just such a wonderful event, and you come out every year. And it's just so great to have you there and talking about what's happening now, and just a great tribute and salute to our regional veterans that attend. And we're just so much looking forward to that and having you there. And do you have any thoughts about this particular program this year that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, Deborah, this is a great example of giving back to our community. I mean, here you take with your company and your team over at Penta Communication the sense of honoring and honor and respect that our veterans deserve, and the sense of example of how to do so. I'm always impressed over the last 5 years how this event has grown, but the attention to detail that you place on this event and the focus of taking a historic location, which is the headquarters of your company, and then put a focus around the connection to veterans and military and the service that it continues to provide to our community. So I really thank you for that, and thank you for the opportunity to letting me join you today.
Well, we're so excited, and you know, every year we really hope that it grows and grows, and perhaps maybe with your help through this discussion, we can encourage more female veterans that are in our region to attend this event, and we will be heavily promoting it, but it would be wonderful to see more members of our female veteran community participate, and also those who are families of women who are currently serving in our military, for them to come and celebrate Military Appreciation Month with us. And Francisco, I thank you so very much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to join us today and pay tribute to International Women's Day and talk a little bit about women in the military and our female veteran community here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Well, again, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks for bringing the awareness to the contributions of our females today on International Women's Day, but especially putting a focus around our female veterans, which are the largest demographic of growth of veterans returning back to our communities. Everybody who has served is a special person to all of us, but their service to our country is even more important if we find ways to make them succeed upon reintegration to our communities. And I think getting the awareness of support programs and peer networks definitely helps. So thank you so very much, and I wish you all the best.
Well, same to you, and thank you, and I hope that you have a great day as you navigate through the many roadways here in Massachusetts with the fallen tree limbs and power lines, that you're safe.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.